Following is a one-minute introduction, which will be followed by the treatment. To find out about the founding of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which was founded in 1988 by William and Helen Wright, please navigate to the menu, which is in the top left corner of every page, and select About, which is near the bottom of the menu. If you would like to contact us in a private, secure manner, please send a message which is obtained from clicking on the Contact button, which is next to the About selection at the bottom area of the menu. This is the end of the introduction. The extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute follows. This extemporaneous prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is entitled Man, Image of God. Mary Baker Eddy gives us some very important guidance in three quotes at the beginning of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's from Jesus, quoted by John. 2. From Shakespeare. There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And 3. Tells us what happens if we follow 1 and 2. And it's from Mary Baker G. Eddy. Later she dropped the G, which represented one of her names, which was Glover. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. What is prayer? Prayer is our life. Every thought, speech, and action is our prayer. Forget what someone says, including ourselves, in a few short words. It's how we think, act, and speak. That is our prayer. I call it TSA, thought, speech, action. That's our prayer. Einstein tells us that curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. That, of course, is how we're going to arrive at what the first quote says. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can only find out the truth if we continue questioning about everything that we're involved in, every thought, every speech, every action. Needs to be focused on pursuing the truth. The truth about what? The truth about God? Because the truth about God tells us the truth about man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 tells us how man was revealed to consciousness. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. And God said, bless them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The first thing that it says is, let us. Think about that quote from Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the first one, and ye shall know the truth. Know means to understand. We cannot understand unless we have our thought prepared to elevate on the level of where truth is and open our consciousness so that we can let it in. Because everything has to be in consciousness that we want to experience. If we want to experience the truth, we have to understand what truth is and hold that in consciousness as a reflection of the knowing, the intelligence, and the wisdom of God. Only then does God reveal it to us. We have to let our consciousness be open to the angel messages of God. God is defined on page 465, which is the recapitulation chapter, summarizing chapters 1 through 13. And that's chapter 14 is recapitulation. And it says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That's us. Why? Because Genesis 1 states that we are the image and likeness of God. And that's what God is. We reflect or have the opportunity to reflect every quality of God. Not the quantity, because the quantity is infinite. We reflect as much of the truth that God gave us as a reflective ability that we're ready to accept, that we're ready to think, talk, and live. It doesn't mean we talk to others. It means we talk to our own consciousness. It means that we conduct ourselves in a manner that is godlike. The second term for God was spirit. Mind, spirit, soul. Spirit is substance. Soul is identity. We identify with seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Since spirit is the only substance, then we only have spiritual senses. Those are the only senses that are real. The opposite is termed matter, and that's not real. They both can't be real because they're opposites. Spirit is invisible. A so-called matter is something we can touch, feel, smell, see, taste. But that's not important. What is important is that we cultivate the spiritual senses. If we're seeing with spiritual discernment, we're able to separate the difference between truth and error, real and unreal, spirit and matter, mind and mortal mind, life and death, truth and error, love and hate, principle and chaos. That's what spiritual substance enables us to do. We can utilize spirit because it is flawless, and we will not make a mistake in how we identify anything if we're utilizing spiritual senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Are we going to have chaos in our life, accidents, conflicts with people? Well, what is principle? Principle is structure and system. What does Mary Baker Eddy say on page 146 of the textbook? Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Well, what is the system? She says she has given it to us. Here's what's on page 330, and further expanded between pages 330 and 340. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And then for the next 11 pages, 330 to 340, she gives us 32 topics, which are those 32 planks. And that's a platform on which we need to stand, and then we build up consciousness from everything that is interpreted or that we are able to interpret and translate from the textbook and all 16 books that Mary Baker Eddy published. She stresses how important it is to study those 16 books in order to understand science and health. We give you complete procedures to follow under the title Heal Everything, How to Do It. And that's at the top of every page, a link you can click that takes you to the complete presentation on all of the steps that are required to do it. And if you follow it methodically, scientifically, consciously, and don't give up, in other words, be a genius. The difference between a genius and the average person is that a genius focuses on something and pursues it. They live it. And they never stop. If you do that, you'll be able to heal anything that you're confronted with. Anything. Try asking a medical doctor if he can give you a book to read that will heal anything, any problem you have. Christian Science is the only thing that is based on the healing works of Christ Jesus. And Mary Baker Eddy discovered the science of Jesus' healings. That was the great discovery of Christian Science. What does Einstein say about science and religion? He says religion without science is blind. Science without religion is lame. He said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. So that must have been around 1946 he made the statement, because she discovered it 80 years before in 1866. He said, blessed art thou, referring to Mary Baker Eddy, because everything that is in this book. Referring to the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. But is it really by Mary Baker Eddy? Mary Baker Eddy calls herself a scribe unto orders. She wrote down what she was revealed by God directly. In fact, she says, follow me only as far as I follow the Christ. Now, the Christ means the Christ consciousness, which is the consciousness of God. And Jesus was the best example, and therefore he was given the title of Christ to go in front of his name, just like a mister or a doctor or anyone else, pastor, professor. He was Christ Jesus. And why? Because when he saw someone that had a problem, he did not see them as someone that had a problem. He saw them as the perfect image and likeness of God, as it states in Genesis chapter 1 that was recited at the beginning of this recording. That's how he saw everyone. Everyone. It doesn't matter what the problem seemed to be that was being faced, whether it was minor or it was death or somewhere in between. There isn't anything he was not able to heal. And Mary Baker Eddy, when she was healed by reading certain phrases in the Bible, she didn't understand how the healing took place. So she embarked upon a discovery process to find out how Jesus healed. And when she realized that there was a system that one could follow, and I read that, recited that earlier, that she reduced it to a system, then she thought, wow, this is really wonderful, because anyone that follows the system can experience a healing. She authenticated 486 healings, and they are stated in the last 100 pages of the textbook, pages 6 to 700. Everyone's been authenticated. Only 85 people, and each one had approximately, six healings? A little under six. I think it's 5.7 or something. They were trying to heal one thing, and they ended up healing every problem they had. They weren't even conscious of some of the problems. They didn't give it any thought. Maybe it was an annoyance and not a matter of life and death problem. Everything you can imagine has been healed in Christian Science. Frederick L. Rawson, a genius of a Christian Scientist, wrote a book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. He has a chapter in there called Applied Treatments. He lists 1,315 different ailments and how you can heal it in Christian Science, each and every one of them. He was so proficient and so understanding about Christian Science that he had 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, they were healed and they were out of there. And he was on to the next patient. We know of three Christian Scientists that were so proficient, so advanced spiritually, that they all had 15-minute appointments. I don't know what's magic about 15, but that's what they were, three different ones. Joel Goldsmith, Wentworth Winslow, and Frederick L. Rawson. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy healed everything, many instantaneous healings. And the churches around the world together had millions and millions of healings. And as is the practice of Christian Science churches, on Wednesday evening, they have two services a week. And on Wednesday, they have an opportunity for people to recite their testimonies of healing. And of course, they publish the Christian Science Journal and the Christian Science Sentinel. And both of those are filled with healings. And they've been doing this for over 100 years. The Journal was started in 1883. I think the Sentinel was started around 1890. So, 135 years. And about 140 years, a little over 140 years for the Journal that have been publishing healings. And these are all verified. They have to be verified before they publish them. So Christian Science, although healing is not the focus is advancing your spiritual understanding of two important things, God which includes the second one, which is God's manifestation. There cannot be a God without a manifestation. Otherwise, what would God be a God of? So man is the manifestation of God. Any truth that someone learns, it doesn't come from the book. It doesn't come from me or anyone. It doesn't come from Mary Baker Eddy. It doesn't come from Jesus. No one. Where does it come from? The truth, which is God. It's a communication directly from God to man. You can read words until you're blue in the face. But the message, the truth, is directly from God to his idea, man. On 587, the definition of God is slightly different because there's emphasis on different qualities within the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And it says God is the great I am. Do you know what great is? Look it up in a dictionary. It will have a different meaning than what you realize. God is the great I am, all-knowing. Imagine, knowing everything. All-seeing. Forget material organs. The seeing is through the capability given to us from God. All-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. All of those extra words that are words in addition to the seven synonymous terms, are qualities expressed within those seven terms. Every single one of them. The same with the first definition that said incorporeal, divine, supreme. On that same page, 587, it gives us the definition of good. What do you think it says? What is good? What is evil? Well, the definition of good is the following. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Remember, omniscience is omni-knowing, omni-intelligence, and omni-wisdom. Mind is all faculty. All faculty. Every capacity we have is from the faculties of mind. Facility, functionality. Because mind is all action. So the functionality of everything is under the direction of mind. If we're close enough in our understanding of God to be benefiting therefrom, then our guide of mind will be directing everything we should be doing. Everything. Frederick L. Rosen says that we should not have to do anything physically. He said we should be able to accomplish anything we want to do mentally. If we need to be somewhere else, we should be able to transport ourselves instantly to be there. Mary Baker Eddy transported herself from New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire, where her home was, Pleasant View, to California. instantaneously. She was gone 2 weeks, did what she felt she should be doing, and then came back. The infinity of God includes no limits about anything. Everything that we need to do, we already have the capacity to do it, or it would not be demanded upon us to do it. There is nothing but God. And God includes complete harmony. That's part of principle. Harmony and balance. That's all part of principle, which is the opposite of chaos. Chaos is what we have when we're not following divine principle, because it's the opposite. We don't ever need to experience chaos if we do our Christian Science work. When you start the day, think about some quotations. In fact, here's definition of man. The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. So this is a focus on our substance, which is spirit, and our ability with anything that is mental, which is mind. Mr. Rosen says in every prayer treatment, we should cover the topic of matter, because that's the opposite of spirit. And if we are believing in substance being matter, then that is definitely the problem that we must attack. It is defined on page 591 as mythology. Mortality, another name for mortal mind, illusion, intelligent substance, and life in non-intelligence, and mortality, life resulting in death, and death in life, sensation in the sensationless, mind originating in matter, the opposite of truth, the opposite of spirit, the opposite of God, that of which immortal mind takes no cognizance, that which mortal mind sees, feels, hears, tastes, and smells only in belief. Not a single thing in there is a quality of God. Not a single thing. So we must not believe matter to be real. Do we think 3 plus 5 equals 7? 9? How about 8? That's it. If we know that 3 plus 5 equals 8, what do? If we're doing mathematics and we put down 3 plus 5 equals 7 or 9, or any other number than 8, do we try to improve it? Or do we replace it? If we don't replace it, then we're trying to compromise the truth. Do we want to compromise the truth? Can we compromise the truth? Is it possible to compromise the truth? Nope. Nope. Can't be done. Truth is always true. Error is always a mistake. Evil is always bad. Good is always good. Everything it says in chapter 1, none of it was created. It was all revealed to conscious thought when our thought is open to accept it. Genesis 1 is not about creation. It's about revelation. Revealing the truth to the alert listener. Can we hear the truth when we read something out of Science and Health? Or the writings of anybody that knows the difference between truth and error? When we read something and it's really true, do we recognize it as being true? Do we recognize it as being newly created? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. That means there is nothing ever created. Does light come from the sun? What does Genesis 1 say? In the beginning. And then it says there was light. And Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean in the only. In the only existence there is, the first thing that happened in our own individual consciousness was that we had to be enlightened. We had to be receptive to the truth. Then we hear what it has to say about the first day of creation, which is Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1, until it comes to where it says, and that was the first day of creation. Day 1. There are 7 specific paragraphs that state each of the 7 numbers. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And 6 is when God revealed to man that man was made in God's image and likeness, which man can only recognize after he opens his consciousness. Man has to be disgusted with his life. He has to get to the point where he says, I'm getting nowhere. There's got to be something better. I want to know what it is. Then he starts to becoming curious and willing to listen to the truth. Not before. Not a minute before. So conditioning thought is step number 1. Then you can hear what God did on the first day, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. And then you get to the sixth, where he's talking about you and me, and everyone. That's when it all happens. In consciousness. Jesus' disciples were asleep. Nine of the 10 lepers were asleep. The blind man was asleep. Tabitha was asleep. Martha was asleep. Mary was awake. What's the difference between those that were asleep and those that were awake? All of Jesus' disciples, and he taught hundreds. I think it said he had, two or 300 disciples that he appointed, in addition to the 12. Only one was awake. You know who it was. It was John. His mother was awake. She came to the crucifixion. John came. Mary Magdalene came. But her sister Martha did not. Lazarus didn't come. He went back to sleep. Jesus woke him up and he went back to sleep. There were a half a dozen people out of the thousands that he taught. Just on the hillside in two sessions, he taught probably 40 or 50,000 people. They didn't count women and children. And each family probably had three or four children and a wife. So when it says that he taught 4,000 people plus women and children, you're probably talking about, 20,000 people, 25,000. And when he taught 5,000, you're probably talking more than that. He probably taught between 40 and 50,000 people in those two sessions. And remember, he said children are the most receptive. So they probably learn more than their parents. They were ready to learn, probably. Are we ready to be the man which is the image and likeness of God? Do you realize that if we live that life, if we live that prayer of being the image and likeness of God, that we are immune to sin, sickness, disease, and death? We can't live life and experience death because they're opposites. Either we're going to experience life or we're going to experience death. What are we doing? Mary Baker Eddy says the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. The definition of good was read. It was recited earlier in this prayer treatment. It is defined as God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Are we doing any good action? Are we active in doing good things? Jesus was asked by one of the Pharisees, what is the greatest commandment of all? Mary Baker Eddy explains that back in that day, they had taken the Ten Commandments and turned them into hundreds. Every tiny little thing they could do, they would make a commandment. And he condenses it down to this. When they said, what is the most important of all? His answer, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. The second is like unto it. They go together. There's one commandment. You cannot love God unless you're loving God's manifestation. Mary Baker Eddy explains that you cannot love the invisible unless you love the visible. Jesus had to maximize his love for humanity before he could love divinity. Loving humanity enabled him to become divine. Mary Baker Eddy told a student that was working on a vision problem, she said, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" How about us? Are we easily swayed by temptations? Or do we take a stand for divine principle? Our benefits flow in accordance with what our model is, the model that we're living. Have we established the perfect model so that we have it ready to refer to when the need arises, which is probably multiple times a day? Having a good model to refer to and refer to it every single time we have a suggestion of a temptation to be entertaining thoughts that are less than 100% godlike. Every time. Mary Baker Eddy says we are barraged with thoughts constantly of evil, of mortal mind, of things that are less than perfect. No more little white lies, or no more little big lies. Look in the mirror. Are you true to yourself? Are you seeing yourself only as the image and likeness of God? God is perfect. Does he see any of his manifestation as imperfect? Are we seeing any of his manifestation imperfect, including the one that's looking in the mirror? We need to start with what is visible and do some self-examination. Mary Baker Eddy did this every single hour of the day. And she probably had an 18-hour day. Now, she may have only spent a couple of minutes, but she did it probably 18 times a day. And 3 times a day, approximately morning, noon, and 6 o'clock in the evening probably, she focused on a prayer that blesses all humanity. That's very easy to compose. Think about what man is. I've recited in this prayer treatment things directly from Science and Health, the glossary, page 591. Recapitulation, which is starting on page 465, through the whole chapter, 24 questions and answers focus on those topics. Think about any single one of them and say this applies to all humanity. All humanity is blessed because this is their character. Think about anything that is about God. And you're automatically thinking about man. If you link it together, you need to state, these are qualities of God, and man is the image and likeness of God, and therefore these qualities are reflected by man. You see, spirit is flawless, which means it is transparent, and therefore it's reflective. So our ability to reflect is from spirit. We bring it forth as something that we are reflecting, each and every one of us, all humanity. We can apply it to individual, collective, or universal. And we need to do it universal. And we can mention all three, every individual. Every individual. Every group. Every collective group. And everyone and everything only has one source. That source is God. Is it new? Was it ever created? Truth couldn't be created. Otherwise, it couldn't be true. Something true cannot have a beginning. It could be new to us in our opening of thought to the truth. And in fact, that's how it works. Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't try to accomplish everything in one day. Take it a step at a time. That is probably the primary reason why she included it as the introductory quote to chapter 14, which is the summary of 1 to 13. All of the key points from the first 13 chapters are incorporated in those 24 questions and answers in chapter 14, recapitulation. So the 24 questions and answers are the truth that is being revealed in a structured fashion with a direct focus, which is the question and answer format. Chapter 15 is the beginning of the key to the scriptures, and that covers 15 through 18. 15 is Genesis. 16 is the Apocalypse or Genesis or Revelation. 17 is the glossary, and 18 are the testimonies. We need to form a model that we can refer to every time a thought occurs that is less than 100% godlike. And we have a duty to address anything that is ungodlike. Otherwise, it will grow. Like a mushroom, it grows when it's covered up. Evil grows when it's covered up. The easiest way to get rid of evil is to shed sunlight on it. In other words, expose it. And that's what chapter 5 is in the textbook. Animal magnetism unmasked. You're exposing the evil. We have to find the evil and identify it and expose it in order to be able to destroy it. And actually, it destroys most of itself. We probably just need to do a little cleanup work around the edges. What a wonderful advantage we have over all of those that preceded us that didn't have the ability to utilize tools that we have. Computer, cell phone, recording devices, which are usually on both the computer and the cell phone. If you really want to remember something, you're going to record it. And then you're going to think about what it means. And then you're going to put it in your own words and record that. And then you're going to listen to it. Jesus gave us 41 parables. We have every single one analyzed from a very high level spiritual level. The authors are Moss and Stamp. Just click on the link for Jesus, which is in the top area of the menu. And there'll be a link there for the parables. Everything is very well organized. You can get to exactly the parable you want instantly. How many times did Jesus name a man or a woman or a child in the parables? There's 41 of them. How many times do you think he named the people that are in there? None. How often should we think about an individual? None. We should think about their qualities. We should think about them being a reflection of God. Not think about them from a material standpoint. John asked Jesus, is there a material body? And then he asked Jesus, is there a material universe? It's in the top part of every page in the header. Click on the answer and see what Jesus says. I don't believe there's another website that has this information. There's a couple of other things that will be mentioned. One is, there are three parts to mathematics. You have the digits, 0 through 9. You have the four operators, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And you have multiple levels of understanding. The very basic one is just the add, subtract, multiply, and divide single-digit numbers. In the system of divine metaphysics, which is Christian Science, you also have the elements. Those are the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And you have four operators. Just by coincidence, it's the same number that's in mathematics of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. In the system of divine metaphysics, it is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And that's explained in the Book of Revelation, or the Apocalypse. Offhand, I don't recall whether that's the words of Jesus or John, but it's easy to tell by just reading it. The majority of recapitulation is dictated by Jesus to John on the island of Patmos, where he came back after ascending to dictate the Book of Revelation. Robert C. Putnam, one of the finest Bible scholars next to Mary Baker Eddy you will ever find, is one of the authors on our website, and he explains it all. In fact, the entire Bible he covers in 169 pages, which is basically an index and a quick summary, checklist, and so forth, of every key event and every key character in the entire Bible. Highly recommended that you study that 169 pages and all of the references. There are several hundred pages of references. So you're not going to learn everything there is to know about the Bible in 169 pages. It's several hundred pages if you study all the references, which you should. And they're all from the Bible. Wonderful opportunity to learn about the Bible in detail from Robert C. Putnam and the Parables by Jesus and the System of Divine Metaphysics, which is How to Heal by Mary Baker Eddy, elaborated by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Just as there are multiple levels in mathematics, there are multiple levels in the System of Divine Metaphysics. And it's on page 115 and 116. Three levels are mortal mind, and one level is immortal mind. The lowest level of mortal mind, as you might guess, is called depravity. And the highest level of mortal mind is the third degree. And then immortal mind is the top level, because that's strictly about God and God's perfect absolute idea, which is man. Highly recommend that you study pages 115 and 116. In fact, I think the explanation or the introduction begins at the bottom area of page 114. But the specific levels are stated on page 115 and 116. And that's the System of Christian Science, the System of Divine Metaphysics. I'll give you one example. Intelligence is a quality of mind, as you can imagine. If you're trying to figure out what the substance of something is, how do you do it? You utilize the intelligence of mind. So mind works with spirit. How about identifying something with seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling? You need to use the intelligence of mind to know what you're looking at, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, what you're tasting, what you're smelling. Intelligence is required to operate all of the seven qualities or synonymous terms for God. Same with principle. You're not going to be able to understand the structure, which is a quality of principle, without intelligence. And once you understand it, then you're going to exercise the quality of knowing. And then you're going to utilize the qualities of wisdom to make decisions about what you learned. How does love play into this? Love is the ointment, the lubricant, that makes everything work together silently. In other words, no friction. That's called love. Love permeates everything so that it is available to have a smooth operation. And that's exactly what we all want to have. In other words, everything works together in one grand network. The redwood sequoia trees in Northwest California, shallow roots on these enormous trees that are 300 plus foot high. That's the height of what the length is of a football stadium. The roots are barely covered up with the dirt. Barely covered up. They rely heavily on each other. They give and they receive. They give unity and they receive strength. And that's exactly what we do when we are abiding by the golden rule. We cannot even think about healing unless we cultivate a life of giving, because that's love. Without love, nothing works. It's the lubricant that makes everything work. We can say almost anything but it's how we say it that's the most important. Are we saying it with love? If you're not saying it with love, you're not getting the message across. Because love is required to make the other six terms work. They don't operate. They don't work. They're not effective if you leave out the love. Mary Baker Eddy says, as I quoted, you have to have the love and the spirit in order to demonstrate the system of divine metaphysics. The letter and the spirit. The spirit is the love, the atmosphere. The letter is knowing all the words and all the definitions and, you know, all of the text. But you can have the whole thing memorized, thousands of pages. Won't do any good if you leave out the love. That's why you have to begin by cultivating an atmosphere of giving. Many ways you can give. Money is one way. But you have many other ways to give. There's 1,440 minutes a day. How much of it are you going to give to everyone? Your thoughts, very important. If you have angel thoughts, give them. Give them to somebody that's receptive and in need. You see someone in a wheelchair? Go up to them and give them a word of encouragement. Smile. If you're shopping, be pleasant with the clerk. Say hello. Good afternoon. Good morning. Thank you for serving me with a nice attitude. With a good attitude. I really appreciate that. I've got a very busy day today, and it's easy to think about trying to get everything done. You made my day by having a smile when you're serving me. Thank you. We can share love with so many opportunities. Constantly. Be creative. Think of ways and things that you have that you can give. Do you know how to do any special skill? Do you know of anyone that could benefit from you helping them learn it? There was someone that used to live next to us, and my mother would tutor them. Don't forget the money, but money's not the only thing you should be giving. If you want to be successful in your life, success depends on giving. Success depends on sharing joy. What do you think about when you get up in the morning? Have you thought about reciting some of the things that were in this prayer treatment? Definition of God, definition of man, definition of good, the three quotes at the beginning of the textbook. How about the scientific statement of being? I know someone that had a problem, and they substituted the word of the problem for the word matter. It goes like this. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of a growth above the eye. All is infinite mind, and is infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. The belief of a growth above the eye is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. The belief of a growth above the eye is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and I am God's image and likeness. Therefore, I cannot have a belief of a growth above the eye, for I am spiritual. Amen. I know an individual that was healed by saying words to that effect. He had a growth, and it was growing and growing and growing. He didn't give it any thought in the beginning, but then it started to be where he was concerned about it. He had relied on Christian Science all of his life, and he finally realized he better be giving some attention to it. So whenever he went in the restroom, it was quiet. He had a busy life. Then he would state the scientific statement of being by substituting the words that were just mentioned. We can use it with anything. An accident. Anything. Conflict with relationship. Frederick L. Rawson says, say very quickly, there is no, and then name the problem. So there is no growth above the eye. There is no abnormality. Nothing is abnormal with my eye. We can apply it to anything. Anything at all. Another thing that Mr. Rawson says to do is you should deny that there can be any age. In other words, our life does not progress based on getting older. Mary Baker Eddy says that life should be counted based on how much good we're doing. Are we making an effort every day to do something good? Maybe many things good. Mary Baker Eddy had a metaphysical college for many years, and her final class was in 1898, and she gave her final class 7 prayers, 1 tied to each of the 7 synonymous terms. She invited the students to attend that class. If you did not get a personal invitation from Mary Baker Eddy, you could not attend. Everyone that succeeded in completing that class received a CSD degree, Doctorate of Christian Science. She chose the top students. She wanted them to be the seed that would continue Christian Science. They failed miserably. The day she passed on, they took her picture out of the textbook. They forbid anybody to talk about her, mention her name. They tore down all the statues that were put up in her honor. They got rid of her beloved house where she lived for 16 years. Even the people living with her, that she also gave a CSD degree to, and all the ones in the class that got a CSD degree, they were not permitted to talk about her, to mention her name, or they would be excommunicated from the church. Jesus had a half a dozen people come to his crucifixion. Mary Baker Eddy had none. 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 They were all chicken. They were all fearful. Too bad John wasn't there. He would have gone. Everyone else was a chicken. Yep. She told one student that she wanted him to publish something when she passed on, and he waited 30 years to do it when he was ready to pass on. 30 years. Chicken. Yep. Fearful of losing their membership in the Mother Church. What does she say church is? I will read it to you. It's in the manual. No, actually, it's in Science and Health. Page 583. Church, the structure of truth and love. Whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. The church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. That is the church that the Mary Baker Eddy Institute belongs to. Not an organization that the bureaucracy, not one that has a physical building, although there's a few good ones around, but this one, the structure of truth and love. I shall read one of the Diapason of Heaven prayers, as mentioned earlier, that she gave as a gift to the final class in the Metaphysical College. Since man is the reflection of God, and that is a quality of spirit, I shall recite the Diapason of Heaven for Spirit by Mary Baker Eddy. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. It is 25/07/24 at 17:22 And the title to this extemporaneous prayer treatment, which is now ended, is Man, Image of God. Thank you for listening. The end.